All right, I will now share my experience, strength, and hope for the next 15 to 20 minutes. All right. So, hi everyone. My name's Shelby. I'm a compulsive overeater and restrictor. I am really grateful to be here today and share with you. So, what it was like before OA. So I was, and you guys have known, I've shared before, the pendulum is like I like to call it. So I was either over here, my addiction was either I was over here restricting or I was over here binging, and I didn't, there was nothing in between. I was the constant yo-yo dieter. I was obsessed about calorie counting. I was on every single diet imaginable. I was never, diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure I had exercise bulimia for many years. I did not have an in between, I the constant struggle and obsession with not, to me, it wasn't necessarily about the food as it was more about my behaviors with food. So as I could describe it is like the pressure of being a good girl or the perfect wife, the way that that manifested was in my restricting, right? So if I was thin, the thin ideal, the perfect wife, that was when I was in control or appeared to be in control and I was restricting and, restricting food, not eating, what that looked like to me was also the calorie counting, and as long as I was on that track, I was good, right? And then the binging for me was like a rebellion, it was like a secret way to push back that deep part of me that use food secretly to say kind of fuck you. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that, but I kind of would also use food as a way to, kind of I couldn't hurt others, right? And I couldn't outwardly manifest a lot of my anger that I had in life, so I would do it. I do a lot of it with where I'd use food and I would binge on food to just kind of secretly say, well, fuck you, I'm gonna eat this, it, and the funny part is that I was the only person I was really hurting was myself, I, but at this, the, it was the feeling though, when binging, like that felt like such a relief. It felt so good for whatever reason. I was like, like there was a little bit of justice involved in that. I don't know, that's just, that's strange, but that's kind of how it felt. As far as marriage and family, my dad and my husband hated heavy set people, hated people in larger bodies. They themselves struggled with their weight, which probably had a lot to do with them, not me, but that's not how I saw it, right? I felt like being, in a larger body was, an offense. And there was an immense amount of shame and pressure that went with that. And so I remember once, this kind of will give you a perspective. I asked my ex-husband, and I was just asking him one day, I said, and this is a loaded question, husbands will understand this. When your wife says, what's one thing I can do to be a better wife? I remember how, just throwing that out there. And I was kind of looking more for like, you know what, I'd like to hang out with like my guys' friends more, or I really don't like it when you yell at me about something, and I was just asking more about like character defects, things like that. Things I can work on to be a better person, and what he said to me was, if I wanted to be a better person, I could go to the gym. That was his response. So, and that's what I kind of lived with, you know, with somebody who that was their priority, which was interesting because I don't really think he cared about me being a better person. I think he wanted me to look like the person that he needed me to look like for himself, you know. So, my marriage was pretty toxic, you know, and and it fed also my disease. You know, he very much encouraged my extreme dieting and my behaviors. So there was, I had, that's that was my normal. I did not think that, you know, the binging and the restricting and all were, I thought it was completely normal. I didn't know that I saw normies out there. I knew they existed. I knew people didn't have the struggles that I did, but I didn't know where to go. And I just thought that, well, this is something I suffer with, and this is life, right? You know, and doctors aren't much help, you know. They're just gonna give you a pill and tell you to lose weight, you know. I even had some, you know, stigmatism at work, and I still think that this exists, you know, that I remember once I had my boss tell me I couldn't do a particular job because of my weight, and I was so pissed at that, you know, I just completely ignored him and did it anyway, and then told him, you know, I didn't tell him to shove it, but you know, I wanted to. But you know, yeah, a lot of my anger, I've expressed that here in, you know, the meetings, that, you know, the general stereotypes, you know, that the world has to people who are, and I believe even those of us in this, you know, meeting have these deep, you know, we don't want to say that we believe this, but I think the hate that we have sometimes for ourselves manifests, you know, because we too kind of believe the lie that we're lazy, we're undisciplined, you know, that we don't have, that we don't care about our health, you know, which it could not be the opposite, you know. My emotional bottom when, you know, I came into these rooms, I was depressed, I was broken, I was obsessing over food every day, and I had been locked in that food obsession and the yo-yo dieting for a couple decades. So it was, God, the rant in my head that I gave away to talking about food, talking about how I was going to, you know, lose the calories that I ate that day, you know, was, God, I don't even know how I got it. How did I even do my job? You know, because I was thinking about, you know, food or exercise or something, what the next diet or something, you know. My marriage was a train wreck, you know, and I was in therapy, and the therapist suggested that I find a support group. And I had been listening to OA podcasts, and I had even attended a couple of phone meetings, but I didn't participate. You know, it's really easy to kind of, you know, just listen, you know, but that's what I needed at the time. And you know, but I don't think I ever, like, you know, spoke at a phone meeting of those few that I went to. And so my first OA meeting was at Skivvy, and I walked in, and I think it was a Saturday, you know, and I remember, you know, walking into the rooms and just feeling completely at home. You know, I didn't see, you know, I didn't walk in there going, oh my God, you know, everybody's thin. This is the answer to all my prayers, you know, now be thin. And that thin is the answer. You know, I saw a light in people's eyes. I saw peace and surrender and acceptance, you know, and I realized that it's about, you know, for me, you know, surrendering to my food behaviors, not just the food. And I felt hope for the first time, you know. For me, you know, in my addiction, you know, to my behaviors, the dieting, the restricting, binging, you know, the obsession, the sad part is that those behaviors worked for me for many, many years because they numbed me from the pain of my trauma. And I heard this story once that, you know, addiction can be kind of like a log. And if I can remember the story, like it's, the trauma and the life, is like a big flood. And you're lost in this flood, right? That's life and that's the trauma, and you're drowning, right? And your addiction is the log, and you hold on to that log because it's what worked for you, right? It worked for me for many, many years, because that's where I either was numbing out with the food, or I was rebelling against the food, or I was, restricting it in control, using the food. And I had to hold on to that log for many, many years in order to get through that flood. But then one day, you see the other side and you see land, and that was a way, and that is abstinence, and that is freedom from food, and freedom from, the addictive behaviors. But like, you're not necessarily strong enough to just, dump the log and go to the other side, and get there. You might have to like get a little stronger and swim a little bit and then go back to the log. You might, swim a little bit further, get stronger, and go back to your log. I don't think abstinence is clean is where I guess I'm getting to, because one day you'll be able to probably, you'll swim a little further and a little further, and one day you'll get to the land and you won't need that log anymore. And that's a lot of people's story. It's not that clean all the time, at least mine isn't. I will say that I call myself a 100-pounder, not because I lost 100 pounds at one time. I was such a yo-yo dieter that I lost like 100 pounds cumulatively, and I have all that graphed out, like on pieces of paper. I had it in Excel spreadsheets, anything and everything I could to document, my weight loss. But I never have to, like, being in OA now, I'm maintaining a weight, and I've been maintaining a weight ever since I've been here. And that to me is amazing, that freedom from those food behaviors. I think that my anger and trauma, I've brought that up before, in these meetings. I had a very violent dad. And one thing, in fact, I know I've inherited that anger, and that it's inside me. And there's a lot of shame around that anger. The fear is basically what it is, right? Inside me. But what I love about OA is that, I can come here and I can talk about that safely. I can't talk about that kind of stuff with my friends or family. I can't talk about my food stuff with friends or family. They just don't get it, right? OA, I come here and I'm like, yes, that's me. That is me. And I may not always, share every day, but I come and I show up and I keep coming back, and I'm not, and because of that, I am no longer on that yo-yo dieting anymore. I'm not exactly at my goal weight, but I'm free from that destructive cycle. And I'm also learning how to accept my body. I'm not at, this, body love place, but I'm at a place where I can, there's parts of my body I can say I like. And I could never have done that, 10 years ago. Oh, hell no. I hated everything about my body. But now I can say, yeah, that's not too bad. And that's progress to me. So I'm happy, I'm just really grateful for OA and the tools that OA has given me, the community that OA has given me, and the hope that I didn't have before, and just a safe place to share this. I know you guys get me. And Like I said, recovery, it's real, but it's imperfect. OA gave me a way out of the pendulum. So for me, that's freedom. Yeah. How much time do I have?
5 minutes.
9 minutes left?
Five.
Oh,
Five.
5 minutes. Oh, okay. Well, actually, I think that's pretty much, I think, all I wanted to say today. I could say more, but I will wrap it up. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank
Yeah.
you so much.